Welcome to KBS World Radio, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces a treasure trove of Korean short stories to global audiences. Today we introduce Withered Flower by Park Kwan-seo. I'm your host Karen Choi, and please stay tuned. Korea is expected to become a super-aged society by 2025. One of the important issues for a society with a big elderly population is how to grow old gracefully. So for the month of May, Books on Demand has prepared a series on growing old with books that feature senior citizens as their main characters. The first book in this special series is Park Kwan-seo's Withered Flower, published in 1995. The main character, Ai, who lives in Seoul, is a widow with three children, two boys and a girl. The story begins with the protagonist visiting Daegu to attend her nephew's wedding.
The wedding hall was booming with people talking in the region's dialect. I was dressed in hanbok in attempt to look respectable when the bride came to greet her in-laws, but she apparently told her parents-in-law that she would skip that part of the ceremony. At least there are no elders to be disappointed. What does she mean by no elders? Doesn't an aunt-in-law count as an elder? Turning 60 next year, I felt alienated and panicky for not being treated as an elder. Even at the reception, buzzing with excitement, all I heard was the Daegu accent. Being ignored by my nephew's family left me feeling miserable and lonely, as if I was being bullied. The pink hanbok I had worn to my daughter's wedding looked not only out of place, but also gloomy. Conscious of everything around me, I just ate absent-mindedly without tasting the food. Did you buy the ticket? What time is your reservation? The second oldest niece-in-law, who was busy feeding her child, asked me. Ticket? What ticket? Your ticket back home. Didn't you reserve your seat beforehand? Today's Saturday. Instead of answering her, I looked at the oldest niece-in-law, who was still busy greeting the guests. I don't think it's too late to get a ticket if you hurry, she said as she looked at the clock. My oldest nephew, who lived in the city because of his work, always invited me to his house whenever I called him. This was why I thought he would let me stay overnight at his house, the aunt who came to see his sister's wedding. We will drive her to the station. I'm sorry I can't stay and help you, but I guess we'll just have to leave earlier than planned. You don't mind giving her a ride? I'll be so grateful for your help. Thanks.
The protagonist was deeply disappointed to be rushed out of the wedding hall. Here's literary critic Chun So-young to explain the protagonist's loneliness and disappointment.
There are several reasons behind the elderly's sense of alienation. This story pays particular attention to the generation gap. Conflict between the generations is bound to exist regardless of time. In this story, the protagonist feels alienated by the different views the protagonist and her nephews and nieces have toward the culture of respecting the elderly. The protagonist's anger and shame at witnessing such a generation gap is depicted in detail in the story, which gives us a look into the mindset of the older generation that realizes the times have changed.
The trains to Seoul were completely booked, and so were the express buses. The protagonist had no choice but to wait for a canceled ticket. Luckily, she ran across an old man who was about to get a refund for his bus tickets. I can get a full refund at the ticket booth. He clutched his tickets, fearing that he wouldn't be able to get the full price. I promised him to pay the full price, but now he wanted to sell both of his tickets. He seemed to find it too much of a hassle to sell one ticket and then get the other ticket refunded at the ticket window. I had no problem with buying both the tickets. I could get a refund for the remaining one. But before I could tell him so, a hand came out of nowhere saying, "Let me buy the other ticket." One of the fingers had an aquamarine ring on it. The protagonist was finally able to get on the bus to Seoul. She got on the bus 5 minutes before the departure time and sat on a window seat. He got on right before the bus left. I didn't even glance at him. When he was about to place his khaki trench coat on the rack, I saw the London Fog label on the coat's hem turned inside out. I liked his sophisticated taste. The man who bought one of the old man's tickets sat next to the protagonist. He not only looked stylish, but seemed to have taken good care of himself. The protagonist was slightly bothered by the man.
Unwittingly, I was dreaming of having a drink at a fancy bar with him. The reason I was acting so strangely maybe had something to do with the aquamarine ring he had on. Or perhaps I knew exactly why I was acting so strangely. I was much younger when I frequented my friend's jewelry shop in the hotel mall. Looking back at the time, I was somewhat proud of myself, but at the same time somewhat empty. So I must have been way past 40 years old. As everything began to feel meaningless, my well-behaving children, my competent executive husband, all seemed dull. Once I started feeling that way, I became so lethargic that my fingertips and toes seemed paralyzed. That was when my rich friend opened the jewelry shop, and I usually visited the shop without buying anything. It certainly had something to do with the emptiness I felt inside. What my friend and I feared more than death was that we were at a point in our lives where we'd had nothing more to look forward to than growing old.
At the time, the protagonist often went to a bar called Casanova with her jewelry shop friend.
We liked the bar's vibe more than the taste of whiskey or wine. And one element that contributed to the atmosphere was an elderly couple who regularly came to the bar. The old gentleman and his partner, gentle, elegant, and relaxed, always sat on the stools across from the bartender. We didn't want to think of them as an old couple, but as a pair of old lovers. It was purely our wishful thinking, because we never found out the true nature of their relationship. We used to enjoy watching their every move from a dark corner, as if we were mesmerized by a movie scene. We watched the handsome bartender serve them cheese or pickles and put ice and amber-colored whiskey in their crystal glasses. We couldn't tell what they were saying or what their facial expressions were like, but we admired them and were comforted by the fact that they could look so good even at their age. Watching them clink their glasses, I thought randomly that genuine reconciliation between human beings can take place only when we grow that old. Glamorizing the elderly couple that way must have been one way to lessen our sense of emptiness, the fear of impending old age.
The protagonist eased the fear of aging by watching the old couple. Here's Bang Min-ho, professor of Korean literature at Seoul National University, to tell us why growing old is more dreaded than dying.
Everyone fears growing old. But to women who are around the protagonist's age, growing uglier with age is unbearably scary and repulsive. But this episode about the old couple is comforting in that we can hope to experience such beautiful, classy love even when old. The episode also makes the protagonist desire such a relationship. This scene is an effective means to compare the protagonist's life and that of the romantic couple, ultimately prompting the protagonist to hope for the same when she grows as old as them.
아주 효과적인 장치로서 그 카소노바의 장면이 들어 있었다라고 하는 것이죠.
At the rest stop, the man handed her a cup of tea from the vending machine, and the protagonist got to thank him while looking straight at his eyes. His beautiful features and slim figure gave him a righteous appearance, and he had gentle eyes. My heart trembled loudly. Who would have believed that I could feel this way at my age? When the protagonist tried to look out the frosted window, the man gave her tissues to wipe the window. The two started talking.
The traffic became very heavy past Daejeon, so we arrived in Seoul way past midnight. Other passengers slept through the ride, but we both stayed awake and acted like youngsters. We didn't talk about banal things, like how old we were when the Korean War broke out, how difficult our lives had been, or where we settled down after the war. Instead, we talked about old movies, our favorite actors or music, good restaurants with great food and unique vibes, and current affairs. I was satisfied at finding out for the first time how talkative, cheerful, knowledgeable, and witty I could be. But it wasn't like we agreed on every issue. We agreed passionately that it was extremely humiliating to live through the military dictatorship. But when he brought up his beloved pet dog, I loudly objected like a person who got allergic at the mention of the dog. Nothing could be more amusing than all this. I didn't like it that we were already in Seoul, even though it was way past midnight.
노인이 된다는 것은 육체가 늙는 것을 지칭한다기보다는
Being old means more than the body aging. It also means that one loses one's role in a community or a family. If a man's life can be compared to a stage play, the man now steps down from the stage in old age after performing various roles. Questions about where we can find the meaning of life after we are pushed out of the spotlight bring fear about our lives in later years. The protagonist in the story bemoans that her role was downplayed by her nephews and nieces, who don't care much about tradition. She feels as outdated as the old handbook she is wearing. But when she runs into a stranger, she feels energized again and finds joy. Given that, a human being's role can be redefined within the relationship with others, and a person can rediscover life's purpose.
That was literary critic Chun So-young explaining how a person can find life's meaning at an old age. The night air was chilly. He took off his coat and put it over my shoulders. I did not refuse. Instead, I willingly rounded my shoulders so that I could fit inside the coat. I had long forgotten about my age. Out of pure coincidence, the two lived in the same neighborhood and got in the same taxi. The man got off first, but only after handing her his business card. The protagonist's house was in a three-story building. She rented out the first two floors and lived on the third by herself. I looked at his business card as I inhaled the familiar and damp air in my house. It was a simple business card that had only his name and home and office phone numbers. I liked him even more, thinking that it suited him, as if I knew much about him. Since that day, when the phone rang, the protagonist picked up the phone expecting it to be him on the other side, even though she hadn't given him her number. Then one day her daughter-in-law's mother passed away and she got to take care of her dog for a few days. But the dog refused to eat anything.
At this rate, I would end up being blamed for starving the dog to death. I put all the leftovers in a bowl and poured soup over it and then placed the bowl in front of the dog. I thought he would turn his head away like usual, but he leaped at it, eagerly slurping up the soup first with its red tongue. That's right, even the Lord of Creation ends up kneeling in front of hunger. What are you to be picky and stop eating? I was about to smile in satisfaction when... The dog started yelping and thrashing desperately. Not having enough time to think carefully about what had caused it, I got frightened, thinking that the dog would drop dead right here and then. I couldn't dare face my children, but what drove me even crazier was my granddaughter, who adored the dog like his mother. At that moment, he was the first person I thought about calling for help.
So did the man pick up the phone? Can the two start a romantic relationship? Let's find out in part two of Park Wan-seo's Withered Flower. Thank you for tuning in to Books on Demand. This week was part one of Park Wan-seo's Withered Flower in the special series about growing old. This has been Karen Choi, and please join me again next week.